This is Prophecy Now. I'm Liberty, your host from Spirit Move Ministry. Let's just jump in and talk about times and seasons, prophecy, everything that God's doing right now, and what we need to be preparing for. Enjoy the show. Hey guys, it is Liberty from Spirit Move Ministries. Very, very, very excited to be on with you. I hope you guys are all having a marvelous, marvelous day. Today is Saturday. Tomorrow is Sunday. Today is 8/24/24. So that's a cool day and cool numbers. I have a lot of ground to cover today, and I'm going to try to do my best in a decent amount of time. Also, hello, Prophecy Now podcast listeners. I do not intend to forget about you. I have not forgotten about you. I love you guys. Thank you for wherever you're listening from. Honored to have you follow the ministry and be a part of everything that the Lord is doing. Number one, I have to mention a few housekeeping things. You guys will survive. Still raising funds for Pakistan. I go in mid-October. This time we will be doing a huge crusade. We're expecting 200,000 to 300,000 people. Also a pastor's conference. The Lord has been, after Africa and just everything he's been taking me through this last year, he's really having me focus in on times and seasons. And really, that's what I'm called to, you guys. That's my mantle. That's what I've been releasing since I started this channel. And the Lord wants me to be more intentional about pouring into pastors and leaders and just ministering to those who are, because they're going to have to be unshakable. Pastors, apostles, prophets, those who run ministries or do similar to what I do, we have to be ready to be unshakable, you guys. So it's very, very important. So when we're there, I'm going to be doing a pastor's conference, and we're expecting a very large crowd for that, and very, very excited to do that for Jesus. And so setting them ablaze there, especially you guys, they face so much more things than we would even fathom to face here. And so the Lord loves them and wants them to be prepared, just like what we did in Africa. And so we have to raise 110,000. And so I think we've raised like 25,000. And so we are still raising funds. We would love for you to partner and sow into that. If you are doing the extravagant gift challenge, extravagantly give a gift to Pakistan so that we can go do what God's called us to do. You may not be called to go, but you can help those who are called to go. And just so you know, if you didn't know this, there's not a lot of women going to Pakistan and doing what I'm doing. I'm one of the only. And it doesn't make me special, but I'm honored to be a sent one and to go do what he's called me to do in Pakistan. And I don't know why, maybe because of how it kind of, you know, it doesn't feel safe there. It's not Afghanistan, you guys. I was very safe there. I had guards with me everywhere I went. It was beautiful. I had a wonderful time there ministering. It was not weird or scary or anything. And so the pastor that runs the ministry there and has all the pastors under him has the largest church in Pakistan. And he's been doing it for over 30 years. And he takes very good care of me when I'm there. And him and his wife are beautiful people, and it's very safe. But the reality is, if you're not called to go, you can help support those who are called to go. And so I would love you guys to support me and sow into those souls that are going to get saved, and sow into the pastors that are going to be set ablaze and ministered to be unshakable. Now, moving on. Unshakable prophetic times and seasons gathering. I am doing the end of October in the Orlando area. We have several options for venues. I'm just kind of feeling it out to see with the registrations. how that's going to go, because it's a free event that I'm doing. Now, that weekend is also the weekend that I am doing our School of Ministry and Mentorship gathering in here in Orlando. And we have those that are graduating from the second year, and it's kind of a big deal. And so they're all coming here, and then I'm going to do this event on the weekend that they're here so they can participate with serving and ministering with the ministry and being a part of the team and doing all those things, especially those that are online students and never have ever met me in person yet. So it's going to be a great time, but that day, the event is free. We're going to have a service at 1 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. on October 26th. So just plan to be in the area and plan to come for the whole day. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be all times and seasons, releasing prophecy, preparing you to be an unshakable bride, to be an unshakable body. And it's necessary. And I think the timing is perfect, you know, with things coming up. So I would love to see you there. Now, we already have about 80 seats spoken for. So get on and register. This will help us know to make sure we have a seat for you, or you might not get a seat. My expectation is to have 200 seats available, but we might need way more than that. And 80 are already gone. So, or more, a little more than 80. So, get on and register, get your free seat, but do not do that unless you plan on going. And, we're going to be very, very excited to see you. And I'll be very, very excited to just, you know, pour the fire and glory all over all of y'all and just have a great time in His presence. Amen. Times and seasons gets me all excited, you guys, because it's what I'm called to release, which is what I'm about to release. Also, reminder to those giving extravagant gifts. If I've had many people email me and ask for the list of ministries that I would tell you to give to, if you're not giving to Spirit Move or you're wanting to divide it between Spirit Move and other ministries, so I have a list. You can email us at info@spiritmove.global and we will give you the list of the ministries that I recommend that you give to. They will happily receive your extravagant gifts and they will be blessed by them. And so some of those places, we've had many email me over the weekend and we sent out probably at least 15 emails with that list. So those on the list are already receiving a bump in their things that they're doing. So very, very blessed to, you know, participate with that on behalf of other ministries that I trust and follow. And, you know, give an extravagant gift, you guys. This is the season. There's so many things I could say in this word, but I'm going to try to focus on the dreams and visions that He gave me and what God is saying with it. And it's right in line with everything that we've been talking about, everything He's been preparing you for. But there's still so much happening with the 818. I'm not going to go into that because that'll be another word. But this is the time to sow, you guys. Do not skip sowing into the kingdom. This is what you give above your tithe. You should already be tithing. This is your offering above. And maybe you haven't given your extravagant gift because you're afraid or whatever. But that's why you're being tested with giving. And this is what the Lord was telling me when I first gave the challenge to my students. He was like, Liberty, Mammon, and faith in money has got to be broken off my people. They have got to know at the end of the day, I'm the source. My true remnant is going to know I'm the source. I'm always going to be the source. There's no other source. Your bank account ain't going to save you. At the end of the day, Jesus is the only one that can bring manna from heaven, bring water from a rock. So here's the thing, we're covered. If you're being obedient, and that's what we're going to go into with this word, and you're in His presence, you're under an open heaven, will it always be easy and perfect? No. Paul said in famine or feast, guys. But if you have the ability to like help someone like me and my team of three or four that will go with me, because I don't travel anywhere alone, get to Pakistan, which is considered kind of dangerous area to be going into. I'm honored to do it. No fear here. Jesus is King. And so, but if you want to give towards making sure that happens, maybe to you, as I said in my last word, emptying out your bank account of the last 90 bucks is all you've got. Or maybe a big gift to you is $1,000. And maybe it's $100,000. Maybe it's $500,000. So here's an example. And then I'm going to move on because I don't want to beat you to death with it. But I'm serious. We've had tons of serious, real life, big testimonies come in from people who have given their extravagant gift and the return that God brought back. And stop the thoughts about, well, we shouldn't expect nothing in return. No, you should. It's biblical. He says to test him. If he will not open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing, 30, 60, 100-fold. You can too sow a seed and declare a 100-fold return on it. This is biblical, you guys. You don't give to get, but you give and you let him create you into being a funnel and a resource for the kingdom, and you let yourself be used. If you give an extravagant gift, he knows that you're breaking that curse of mammon, you're breaking that curse of a lack of faith, and then he's going to give you more. And then you're going to be able to give another extravagant gift. And then he's going to give you more. And he's going to, and you're going to be able to give another, and then it just keeps going. And then he knows now he can use you as a funnel for his kingdom to see his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. And so, once again, examples. If you have $500,000 in the bank, $50,000 is not an extravagant gift. $100,000 isn't an extravagant gift. Giving up at least half of that and handing it to Jesus would be a huge deliverance moment in case you struggle with that. So he wants you to be delivered of that. Because at the end of the day, that $1 million in your account is not your source. It can be gone in an instant when all the banking systems fail. And then you're going to have to trust in manna. It's going to be Jesus always. We don't trust in money. And so give your extravagant gift and don't mess around waiting to see until you feel like obeying. Obey quickly. Because you have to remember, God knows when he told you. Didn't I tell you that 2 months ago? What's the deal? Are you waiting 2 months to give something I gave you orders to give 2 months ago? So here's the thing. I've learned, obey quickly. You know what? It feels amazing. I know it doesn't seem like it, but it literally does. It feels amazing because you're honoring God, you're reverencing him, you're fearing him, not like fear, the wrong fear, but you trust his wisdom, you trust his leading, you let him guide you, and you just go with it. It's beautiful, you guys. It's a beautiful thing to do that and trust Jesus. At the end of the day, he's got to have your money. He's got to have everything because he's it. If money is your source to where you can't give any up, that's a problem. Because at the end of the day, you're going to trust in that. Okay, moving along. But I had to get some of these things, some of you probably skipped it, but then you're not going to know nothing that's going on. That's the thing. Okay. So, we are in a major transition time. You guys know that. And so being in a major transition time this whole year, you guys, I've received emails from you, man, it's supposed to be the open door season. This, I'm doing this, I'm being faithful. And it seems like I'm losing friends. I'm losing family members who are wheat and tares. They're falling off into the ditch. You guys, they were never out of the ditch with you. They've been in the ditch the whole time. They didn't fall off into the ditch. That's their true heart. Jesus is in a season of exposing. It hurts. And so then people contact me and they're like, it doesn't feel like I'm getting a new beginning. It doesn't feel like when I'm obedient, these amazing things are happening. Yes, they are. He's protecting you. He's covering you. He's removing things that are not healthy for you, that are not good for you. He's pruning. He's separating. It's biblical. Wheat and the tares. Wheat and the tares. And so it's biblical what he's doing. The pruning, removal, having you change and do different things, change how you operate, the new operating system, you guys. We've talked about all this. But hopefully this encourages you, this the dreams that I had and I'm going to talk about. So he's attempting to prepare a table before your enemies. But he cannot do that. You know, I talked about that in two or three videos back. He cannot prepare a table before your enemies if your table is still covered with junk. It's covered with old dishes, old half-eaten food, old moldy things, old bills, things stacked up. God is trying to clear your table so he can then put a table before you in the presence of your enemies. But he's got to clear your table. Many of us want to sit at the table with 50% of our old ways of operating, our old ways of whatever, mixture, half rotten food, half fresh food, or even just stale food. He's like, no, I'm trying to wipe the slate clean. I released that word in the end of December, I believe. He's trying to wipe the slate clean so you can have a new foundation to bounce off of. You can grow off of. And he wants you to have that fresh start. Well, he has to remove everything off the table. And so in that season, it can feel like there's a lot of loss, because we don't always get to choose what's on the table. We don't get to choose, guys. Jesus chooses what's got to go. And then he chooses what's going to be added back. And he wants to prepare a table in front of your enemies. And it is not going to be, it's not going to have baggage. It's not going to have junk, you guys. And so I don't know what I'm naming this video. You already know, like I said in the last video, because it will be on the thumbnail. But something about dying, just die already. Will you just die? Okay, here's the thing. We do got to die, guys, okay? This is a dream I'm going to share. We must die. Will you die already? Will you die already? Okay. And so will the ways of Egypt die already? Will we let him remove all that junk from us? Are we going to get to where he's called us to go and then continue with the way that they acted in the wilderness with whining, complaining? This is not how I pictured it. This is not how I thought it would go down. Jesus is like, I didn't ask you permission. I love you. If I love you, you need to trust what I need to do to position you for glory, greatness in the kingdom, not as a person all prideful, but to be positioned to be fruitful. You've got to let him do it, you guys. We have to let him do it. And so he's like, will you just die already? Will you die already? Okay. So, I'm going to talk to you about several dreams that he gave me, and this is going to help you to see, okay? So the first dream I had, so you understand, because I'm a times and seasons prophet, most of the dreams I get are for me. I always receive them for me first, but they're for the body of Christ. He speaks to me so I can speak to you. And so in this dream, I had gotten married. No, I am not married. So this is how you know it's times and seasons. The dream makes no sense because it's not even real to my own life. It's a spiritual picture, okay? So I just got married and I moved in with my new husband. But this is what was happening in the dream. I moved, okay, so there was the master bedroom and then all the bedrooms in the house. It was like a four-bedroom house or whatever. I moved into a different room. I didn't move into the room to share. Some of you are already going to know, tracking where I'm going with this, where Jesus is going with this. I didn't go and share the room with my new husband. I was in my own room within the house under the roof, but I was in my own room. instead of going into that place, which I would say is the intimate place where, you know, married people sleep, where we wear our pajamas, where we have pillow head, I don't know, all the things. And so I was in a separate room and I was trying to get unpacked and get settled and get everything taken out of my suitcases, and everything was kind of unorganized because it was half unpacked and blah, blah, blah. And I was supposed to go to lunch with my new husband, but I was like, you know, you're going to have to just wait a second. I want to get some stuff organized and all that before I go. And then it was just taking like too long. It was like 30 minutes is my guess. In the dream, I just remember it was like 30 minutes. And so I went and got my family member and I said, hey, will you go tell him, because they were in the living room hanging out, will you go tell him that go ahead and go to lunch, because I'm trying to get my room organized. And they were like, oh, well, he decided not to go to lunch. He's just going to wait for you and do these other things while you're doing whatever you need to do to get ready. He was decided to go work on these other things to get ready. And so, so I wake up from the dream and I'm like, whoa. So here's the thing, you guys, you can't have that kind of relationship with Jesus. People don't like the word intimate. They don't like whatever, but here's a prime example. If you get married and you move into a house with your spouse, husband or wife, you're not going to be in separate rooms. You're going to share a room. You're going to see each other in your pajamas. You're going to be around all the intimate things, what we call the intimate things that everyone else doesn't get to see. The bummy hair, the bummy, except for your kids, maybe bummy hair, bummy pajamas, no makeup, your hair ain't done, you know, whatever. And so when you get married and you become a bride or a husband and you come together with your spouse at home, okay, so you've been courting all this time and it's been beautiful. You know, you're courting. They always see you nice, you know, your hair's done, your makeup's on or whatever. You got a nice outfit on, you got whatever, deodorant, please be wear deodorant, cologne, not a fan, but if you wear it, have a ball. I don't like it. I'm just saying, I think it just gives me a headache, but, just use soap. Soap is cool. And so, but you do all those things when you're courting. But once you're married, you move into a house together, you're not always going to see each other all deodorant up with your hair all nice. I'm not going to wake up like this every morning. I wash my makeup off before I go to bed. I don't wear a lot of it, but what I do wear, I wash it off and I put moisturizer on. This top of my hair will probably get stuck in a clip, because I want my hair out of my face while I'm sleeping, or a nappy bun. By morning, it's nappy. So here's the thing. When you move into a house with your spouse and you're living together, you're going to see them in their pajamas. You're going to see them in their underwear. Yep, I'm going there. There's going to be bad breath. There's going to be pillow head. There's going to be whatever. You cannot. There's no facade. There's no perfection. Whatever. You can't, there's nothing. You have to be able to just be you. You have to just be able to wear your pajamas and not care that your spouse sees you in your pajamas. And so our walk with Christ has to be the same way. We have to be able to move into the house with him from courting and share a room with him. We can't compartmentalize and live in a separate room and visit Jesus when we feel like it. We have to actually intimately get to know him, which means he's going to know all the bad things. He's going to get the nappy head, the pajamas, the whatever. I don't even know, hairy legs, hairy arms, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And so with Jesus, it's the same thing. We cannot separate it. And so in the dream, I was like first of all, in a separate room, which is would never be happening. That's a just like, why would that be, you know, okay? And so we can't do that with Jesus. We can't separate. We can't get saved, live for him, say we're on fire, do all this stuff, but never actually spend time with him, sit with him, get to know him, let him get to know you. There is no religion, you guys. And in this dream, I did not want to be in the same room. And I wanted to unpack my stuff. I felt like, you know, and oh, it needs to be perfect. It needs to be organized. And the Lord was like, you know, Liberty, while you're doing that, I'm just going to be over here working on these other things on your behalf and wait around for you to get it together. And so, and just come sit with me. Let's come share a room. Jesus is King. Let's share our prayer time. Let's share our devotion. Let's share the Bible. You have to share your life with the Lord. He is your first husband. And if you're a male, then he's your spouse first. We are the bride, you guys. And so no bride gets married and then moves in with her husband and sleeps in a separate room. Normally that would not happen. That is very weird. And that form of religion that was happening was just like, God's like, okay, here's the thing. I'm here waiting for you. It's like, whatever, 8 o'clock, you know, we're supposed to be getting together in about 30 minutes, you know? You can't not go to God. You cannot create that relationship with him because you want to not be real. You want to hide or whatever. You can't do that in a marriage. In a marriage or when you have a baby. When you take that baby to church, oh man, they're so fixed up. You have them in this cutest little outfit. They got a little bow on their head. They're all a Mason. You take the baby home. They're naked. They're puking. You got poop on your shirt. Sometimes we just got to go be with Jesus with our poop on our shirt and we got to get over ourselves. And so the Lord is saying, I want you to stop the Martha, Martha, Martha. I want you to be able to share a room with me in my house. And you don't got to get organized. Nothing has to look a certain way. You don't have to do these certain things or get these certain things done so things can be perfect. Nothing's ever going to be perfect, guys. You are not going to be able to come before God perfect. Only he's perfect. You can't be made sanctified unless you're with him. You don't come to him after you've done all the religious stuff. Religion has got to go. It just creates a whole life of religion. And so, dream two, because the Lord is so nifty, he knows that he's got to give me like several dreams and then I'll know he's about ready to, you know, come with a swat or two for you guys and myself first, guys. It's always for me first. So the second dream was I was in prayer sitting and just in his presence, enjoying the Lord. In the dream, I was just sitting, in my pajamas on the couch in my living room. And so this is what was happening in the dream. And I just had worship blasting and I was sitting with him. And next thing you know, I see someone. They were a general in the faith. They show up in my dreams a lot, but I think it was an angel, okay? But showed up as a general of the faith. They come in and they just start walking around my house, like being nosy. They weren't really being nosy, but it's kind of what was happening in the dream, guys. So they were walking around my house and they were like looking in my room. They were just like, you know, checking out my bathroom. And I was just like, it's kind of weirded me out for a second. And I was like, immediately in my head, the first thing I thought was, oh no, is my bed made? Wouldn't we all think that? Okay. And because I have this thing I do every time I get up, as soon as I get up every morning, I make my bed. It's just what I do. I like my bed made. I want it to be made so that I don't want it to look messy all day. And it's just what I do. I've always done that. I get up and I make the bed. And so not perfect, but enough to where it's like, okay, you know. And so I was like, oh no, did I remember to pull the blankets up? Did I do that? And this general of the faith, even though I didn't even say it out loud, knew my thoughts. And he comes up to me and he goes, "Liberty, the Lord needs you to know, basically, don't worry about anything being perfect. Don't worry about proving yourself. You don't have anything to prove to me or to God or to man." And he said, "The Lord wants you to know, you just come sit with him. You love him. You, enjoy your time with him. You keep doing you and how you are and how I've called, how he's called you to be. And, basically forget about whether your bed's made or not. Just come sit with me. Just come sit with the Lord. And, you know, just do that. You have nothing to prove." And so then the dream was over. And I was just like, I woke up in the middle of the night and I wrote it down and I was like, whoa. I was like, okay, Lord. So I have no problem. Typically, I get up, I sit with Jesus. That's not a thing. This is how I've always been. Mary. I've always pretty much been a Mary. But I was like, okay, I'll take whatever correction I need. And I'm like, but in the dream, he was like, don't worry, you know, let go of fears, let go of insecurities. You have nothing to prove. Just do what you do, Liberty. Do you, is what he said. And I was like, okay. And this was like 5 nights ago. And it was like 2 nights after the other husband dream. And so then I knew he was just like, he was more for the body of Christ. And he was just like, Liberty, my people need to know. They are not perfect. And that's why I kind of did, I had the media team do the one quote on my social media. It was kind of a tidbit to this word. But they do not have to be perfect. They have nothing to prove. If they are obedient to me and they stay in my presence, that's all that's necessary. I will add the rest. They just have to stay obedient, stay in my presence. That's it. Stay obedient, stay in my presence. You just stay obedient, stay in my presence. When you obey out of his presence, what you're doing in the obeying, that action is what he is requiring of you. You have nothing to prove. The Martha, Martha, Martha syndrome, where you're not allowed to have any rest, it creates, and this is what was happening in the dream, a world of religion. And he doesn't want us, he doesn't want religion growing, you guys. He doesn't want rituals and whatever. We have to be able to go to him and sit with him in our pajamas, with our nappy heads, in our prayer room or wherever you go, whether it's a closet or a room or whatever. I have plenty of space in my house, and so I have several areas, but I have a prayer room. And I have all my cool stuff, the things I like on the walls and like my shofars and all the stuff is sitting in there. Every now and then, I will use my living room space for extended times. And, you know, and then, so there's reasons why sometimes I move around my house. But as long as nobody's there, I use my living room if nobody's there, okay? And so, but you need to come to the Lord without the religion. The Lord, you guys, he wants you to rest in him. And the Lord's telling me, Liberty, I'm working on getting everybody's, clearing your table, getting rid of all the old junk so I can prepare a proper table before your enemies. So he can anoint our heads with oil and he can fill up our cup to overflowing, you guys. But we have to let him do that. But everything is birthed from his presence. Everything is from, stay obedient and in his presence. Those things are necessary. And it's much bigger than just spending time with him. There are things that we might do in our relationship with him that then trickle over to our relationships with people. And so then it can make you fearful. It can make you have insecurities or make you think you have to prove yourself or have accomplished certain things for somebody to accept you. Or whatever the things are, that fear, all those fears, you guys have got to go. So then came the next dream. The next dream was literally, I was just there and I had like a burning inside of me. And I was like, I have to release this message. It's time to die. I'm not joking. Okay. It's time to die. Everyone must die. It's time for everyone to die. Okay. It's time to die. And I, the word was burning in me. And the Lord said, and in it, I knew what he was telling me. He said, Liberty, tell my people they must die. They've got to die to their self. They've got to die to fears. They've got to die to insecurities. They've got to die to religion. They've got to die to fear of man. He was like, Liberty, everyone must die. My people must die. They must get rid of themselves, all the old things, because sometimes we hang on to fear, you guys, and insecurities, thinking it's helping us. And it's not. It turns into religion. So now we're just religious. We don't actually have a relationship with Jesus. We're just a robot, because it's soothing that fear and that insecurity. That's not how he wants us to be. Number one, he doesn't want us in a separate room where we can't be intimate with him and share our heart, oh God, you know, and be real with him and pray and seek his face and in your pajamas with your stinky breath and your nappy head, okay? When you get married, your spouse is going to have to see you not all fancy, and they're going to have to love you anyway. Jesus loves you anyway. So he wants you to stop trying to prove yourself, get rid of religion, just rest in him. And that's the season we're in, you guys. And I've had some of you contact me about what I'm doing with my sons right now, and I'll go into that in a minute. But, the Lord's been talking to me for months. He's like, Liberty, my people have got to be a Mary. The Martha, Martha, Martha's got to go, because they are not going to be able to be unshakable. Everything they need is found in my presence. Everything. And if they don't get it together, they're not going to know how to rest in me. They're not going to know how to receive. They're not going to know how to obey and stay in my presence. Obey and stay in my presence. And he said, this has got to be taught to them. And so I'm here to teach you, because the dreams he's given me are preparing you. And so Matthew, what we all know the verse that I posted on my social media, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added to you. But I added these verses and I'm going to read them. 31 and 32. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you need, and knows what you need, that you need all these things. But seek ye first his kingdom, and he will add the rest. So here's the thing, everything is found in him. And why did I use those verses? I'm not talking about food, your bills, and all that. The same way we have to trust him for those things, we have to trust him as he clears the table to make room to prepare the table in the presence of our enemies. We have to let him prune off relationships. We have to let him teach us how to operate differently in our life. Get Egypt out of us. Think differently, act differently. But if we're not dead and we're still all about our, and you're probably thinking, well, I feel like I'm dead. Like I've died to Christ. He's my everything. He's the love of my life. That's great. But the problem is the other pieces are, they show up when he's ready to do the new things. I've had many people contact me and they're like, why am I having so much fear and anxiety about a great new beginning? And I was like, because you've got to die, guys. Even the things that keep us, there's things that even keep us from enjoying, obeying the great things that are coming and stepping into them. You know, they call it stage fright. You get this awesome part. If you're an actor or an actress, you get this awesome part. You want to go do it, but like you get on stage and you're like, you know, but the thing is we have to die to ourselves. We have to die not just to ourselves, as in selfishness, worldly ways, but we have to die to baggage and insecurities. And so in the dream, I was like burning, man. I was like, oh, on fire. And I was like, man, I just got to preach this from the rooftops. Everybody must die. You must die. Seriously. And it felt good too in the dream. I was like, wow, this feels so good to tell everybody to just die. We've got to get rid of ourselves, you guys. And in the dream, the Lord was like, they've got to die to fear. They've got to die to insecurities. Liberty, they have nothing to prove. If my people live in that mode of thinking, they will never come and be able to fully unveil their heart to me and be intimate with me and let me be their husband and let me teach them my ways. Let me minister to their heart. Let me love them if they're never real. And so when you're married, you got to be real at home. It's the real deal. And that's just the way it is. When you have a new baby, oh man, they're beautiful. But they're puking and pooping a lot. So it can get messy. But it's the beauty of the beautiful gift you have. And so our relationship with him is a beautiful gift. And the new beginnings and the open doors, the new acting job, is gifts from him. And he wants us to walk into them and step in through the transition with joy, you guys. But we have to let him clear the table. Clear off all the old junk, the old ways of thinking, the old fears, the old insecurities, any religion that we've built up. And in the dream, I knew in my head, I've got to tell everyone they must die because they cannot move forward to a fresh start with baggage. And we cannot take it with us. And so the Lord is saying, you cannot take it with you, body of Christ. He wants you to come into all the new things he's preparing. He's speaking to you about, he's been telling you, he wants you to come into it free and ready to enjoy him preparing a table before your enemies. But we've got to get rid of all the old junk, you guys, the insecurities, the fears. We've got to die. How we think we need to do it has got to die. How we believe it has to be done has got to die. Because if you do that, then you get yourself all wound up and you have a bunch of anxiety that does not need to be there. Now, then this comes to then another person on my ministry team contacted me with a dream this morning. I was like, wow, that 100% just goes right along with the dreams, okay? And so she texts me and she's like, I had this dream last night and I'm pretty sure the Lord is telling me, just knock it off, relax, trust me, and just enjoy, you know, everything he's doing. And I was like, wow, I'm going to use that as an example. But she said in the dream, I was in the dream and she was, there was an event happening and she wanted to know this, this, and this. Like a list in her head. And she was saying to another ministry leader, well, but what are we going to do about this, this, and this? Like she wanted to know everything ahead of time. And she said, I looked at her from my car turned off. I looked at her from across the room and I gave her a look. She said, and she said, gave her a look and I was like, and she was like, okay, but she could feel in the dream. She was still trying to have anxiety. And she was still being all wound up like, I'm not okay with just knowing what's good for today. I have to know, you know, is it whatever.